I would encourage you to take your Bibles, and you don't have to turn very far. You can go probably to what is known as page one. I ask you to turn to Genesis 1:1. For those who are using phones or devices of some sort, pretty easy to find it. Genesis, hit chapter 1, hit verse 1. God is. I'm beginning this 8-week study with a focus on God. And you should rightly think, well, Pastor Ben, what gives you the right to tell us about God? And that's a very honest question. I don't really have the right to tell you about God, except for the fact that we are all commanded to know our God. And if I'm to be the pastor of this church, one of my responsibilities is to make sure that we know God. I certainly don't have everything about God figured out. I will end the sermon this morning talking a little bit about that. And you may have frustrations of your own saying, well, man, if only we knew what God was like. So pause for a second, and I want you to think and consider, who or what is God to you? When you say God, who or what are you referring to? I would add to that question and say, who or what have others told you about God? Because the danger today is that we all nod and we all sit next to each other and we all fellowship and give hugs and high fives and shake hands and all believe that we're worshiping God, as we should. But are we all worshiping accurately together the right God? Because what if I define God as a certain description, and here's my God that I worship, and you say, well, no, that's not who I'm worshiping over here. And unfortunately, we see that as a problem around the world, and we all have an idea of God in our own minds. But is our idea of God coming from the Word of God, or is it coming from our own invention, desire, creativity? So again, I ask you, who is God? And my heavy purpose in the next 8 weeks is to go to God's Word and present to us how God presents Himself to us. And I ask for your prayers that I do that faithfully in the next 8 weeks, but I also challenge you to go to God's Word and you study who God is, to make sure that we are actually, in truth, worshiping and honoring and pleasing the right God. God in who He is, not an invention of our own mind. And some of you may be thinking, chill out, Ben, it's okay. Can't we all just kind of worship Him in our own way? God knows. God knows we're trying, so I can worship Him one way, you worship Him another. I can think of Him this way, you think of Him that. And that sounds great. Except God has shown us who He is in accuracy and in truth. And we have the evidence of who He is here. And so it's not up to me or to you or anyone else to reinvent who God is. It's not up to us. He has proven to us who He is, and it's in His Word. Why? Why the next 8 weeks? Why, Pastor Ben, are you going to dive into your first, I guess, big series about God? Why? Well, here's the purpose. To stretch our minds so that we may know, love, and serve our God better. And I chose those words carefully. I want to stretch our minds. Not just tell you what we've always heard. Not just tell you what I am comfortable with. I want us to go to God's Word and to stretch our minds with understanding the depths of this God that we truly have a much smaller grasp of than we may think we do. And to not just know, but to love, and then the natural reaction that comes from a love of God to serve our God better. So that's the purpose, to stretch our minds. And I want to go now to a quote. What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. Read through that once or twice. Make sure you soak that in. A.W. Tozer was a famous preacher, and he has this quote that he is famous for. And he insists that how we understand God is the most important thing about us. Well, that's pretty that's a strong statement, if that's true. In other words, we can't just believe willy-nilly whatever we want to about God. God can be this, but that's all right. You think God's something? Nah, whatever. No, because when we think God and think about God, what is in our minds? And the claim is that that's the most important thing about us. It's a strong claim, isn't it? That's strong. But I tend to believe it's accurate. And so as we move forward and consider the most important thing about us, who or what is God like? Some of us like to picture God in certain ways. And as I scan through some that I've kind of thought up in my own or hearing talking to other people, I want you to kind of see if we run maybe the tendency to liken God to these certain issues. Looks like it's working now, maybe? Awesome. What about Santa Claus? You may chuckle and say, well, Santa Claus is a God. That's not what I said. But do we consider God to be or act like Santa Claus? If you're relatively good, at least however you define good, he gives you stuff. And if you're bad, you get coal. But come on, pretty much everyone gets stuff, even if they're not that good. Because we know best our own children, and we know now they probably didn't deserve that huge expensive gift from Grandpa and Grandma. But Grandpa and Grandma are like, oh, of course, you have to give them something, right? So Santa Claus, kind of the same way. We're generally not horrible. Just don't be really horribly, like, evil. You're going to get stuff. Is God like that? Does God just grade us and say, okay, most of you pass, fine, here's stuff. And the few really, really bad people out there, I'm just going to have to give you coal. Do we think God is Santa Claus? Some of us just keep it real simple and we say, God is a cranky old man. He's standing on the porch yelling at all the kids, get off my lawn, right? He's yelling at the mailman because he didn't put the mail all the way in and close the mailbox accurately. He's on the phone yelling at people who don't know what he's yelling about. God's just a cranky old man and he can't wait to bust people. And just relatively speaking, God's mean. God's mean. And some of us have a tendency to picture God as just an unhappy, cranky old man who's just mean. Just mean. And some of us have valid reasons for thinking that way. Because we've gone through things that we think, man, if God's in charge, he's got to be mean to allow that to happen. Some of us swing the other way, though. And we look at God as similar to a doting grandmother, right? All the grandmas in here, just keep quiet. But for the most part, we look at our grandkids and say, you guys are perfect. You could never do anything wrong. I know your parents are mean, but that's all right. We'll give you 18 extra cookies. We'll caffeine you up and send you home, right? Grandkids can do no wrong. And so a doting grandmother looks at their grandkids and just says, oh, you're perfect. Don't listen to your parents. I'm sorry they punished you, right? Is God the same? Oh, everyone's fine. You're fine. It's okay. Oh, we all make mistakes. It's okay. There. Come here. Have another cookie. And so we say, oh, God's not an angry old man. He's a grandmother who look at their grandkids as if they could do no wrong. And so that's a fun way to think of God, isn't it? Quite honestly, I like that. Basically, I can do no wrong because God looks at me and I'm good. Is that who we think of God? Traffic cop. Is God a traffic cop? Just waiting. He's fine with you as long as you're, right? As long as you're, okay, no speeding, okay, you're good. But 1 second you get out of line, busted. Boom. And the lightning bolt from heaven comes and zaps you. He's got similar to a traffic cop. He's fine as long as you're doing okay, but once you do something wrong, boom, arrested, done, game over. Do we liken God to any of these four? I thought of a couple more. I didn't know how to exactly put this down, so I just said a karma distributor. A karma distributor. What do I mean by that? Well, sometimes we consider karma to be you do good things and good things come back. You do bad things and bad things come back. So the good people over here, God is saying, I see what you did. All right, well done. Well done. Here you go. I'll give you some more. But you over here, you did something bad. I saw what you said. I know what you're thinking about that person. So I'm just going to, no, more bad to you. Oh, good job. Bad job. And he basically just distributes and is in charge of bad things happening to bad people, good things happen to good people. There's a problem with that, though. Sometimes bad things happen to good people. And sometimes good things happen to bad people. Newsflash, we're all bad people. Oh, you can't say that, Pastor Ben. We're all bad people. I'm thankful God is not a karma distributor, because I would not be here today, and you probably wouldn't either. If God gave us everything that we deserve and gave good only to good people and bad only to bad people, you and I wouldn't be here. The gospel is the opposite of karma. The gospel says, I know you're bad. I know you struggle in sin. I'm going to step in and take care of the punishment for you and therefore give you what is good. The gospel is opposite of karma. So he can't be a karma distributor. So I kind of busted that one for you just in case you're wondering. Here's a general one. You see this a lot. Oh, we just can't know God. We just can't know. We can't know. We don't need this whole Bible thing. This ancient book. We're just a mysterious force, something that is unknown. We'll never know. Stop wasting 8 weeks of sermons on trying to figure out who God, forget it. You just can't know. Mysterious force out there somewhere. I believe in God, but just whatever. We don't need to know. No biggie. And then I just put, insert your own here, etc. What do you think about God? Who is God to you? I've given some examples, some silly, some kind of hit maybe close to home, as we tend to think about God. Who is God? What enters your mind, what comes into our minds when we think about God? Because as Tozer said, that's the most important thing about us. So how can we accurately know God? That's why this 8-week series. So here we go. We start today with probably what is the most difficult one to start with. God is the Trinity. God is the Trinity. If you've been in church, this is not a new thought. You've probably heard of the word Trinity before. In fact, newsflash, maybe you've tried to find it in the Bible. Let me help you out. It ain't there. Looking for the word Trinity, you're not going to find it. It's not there. And maybe that surprised some of us because we figured, oh, of course it is. It's got to be in there somewhere, right? Trinity. That's part of what Christians are. We believe in the Trinity. And we call the Trinity God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And for some of us, that's all we know of the Trinity. So Pastor Ben, don't ask me to actually think through it because I don't get it. So I just, one of those things you just, okay, move on. Next. Well, I don't want to quite move on yet because the Trinity is important for us to understand. The word Trinity, which is not in the Bible, is taken from the words tri-unity. If we actually just went around saying the tri-unity, that would actually help our minds understand it more. Tri meaning three, and unity meaning things that are together in unity, in unison. Tri and unity. We just shorten it to say Trinity. So let me start by saying, here's what the Trinity is not. First thing to remember, the Trinity or the tri-unity is not like, because if you're like me, you've used all of these analogies before. Let me just stop us all, Ben included, and say stop. It is not like an egg, the shell and the white and the yolk. The Trinity is not like an apple, the apple core, the flesh part, and then the skin around it, the apple peel. It's not a three-leaf clover, one clover with three little sections. It's not the three stages of water. Well, we have water that's liquid, and we have water that's gas, and the air steam, and we have water that's frozen, and it's ice. That's the Trinity. Wrong. It's not, as I used to believe, a person, one person with three different responsibilities. I remember having conversations with people, and I wrongly said, well, it's like I am a husband, but I'm also a father, and I'm also a, and I would, whatever job I had, and then I became youth pastor, so I would tell people, I'm a youth pastor, and I'm one person, I'm Ben Moses, but to my wife, I'm very different than I am to my kids, than I am very, wrong. I was wrong. I described the Trinity wrongly. I had a misunderstanding of what the Trinity was like. Any other helpful analogies you may have either invented or read about or heard from somebody, you're like, that's it. Let me just help you out by saying, drop it. It's okay to not have an analogy to define the undefinable God. We have to be okay with that. We have to be okay with not knowing everything about God. If you know everything about God, that kind of makes you God, because that means you're all-knowing about a God who is all-knowing. Oh, Pastor Ben, slow down, man. You're making my brain hurt. Seriously? It's okay. It's okay to not know everything about God. I did not say it's okay to not care. I did not say it's okay to never dive into God's word and study for yourself and grow in your knowledge of God. That's why we're here this morning, to grow in our knowledge of God. I didn't say don't care about it. But at some point, we just need to realize, as I had to, God's God, and I'm not. He's the creator, I'm the creation, which means I shouldn't be on the same level as God, which means some things you just have to, okay, I don't get it. So I've told you what the Trinity is not. Maybe that helped you, maybe it didn't. Again, it helped destroy some of my things that I liked to define the Trinity as, which were wrong, which were not helpful. Here's a simple definition of the Trinity. We believe in one God. Don't let people tell you, well, you Christians, you believe in three gods. Because there are certain beliefs that insist that us Christians believe in three gods. No, we don't. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one God. We believe in one God. It is revealed to us, that's an important word, in three persons. Or if person means you think of like a human being, step aside from that and just think being. Three different entities. The best words are persons or beings. We do not worship three gods. We do not believe in one God split into thirds, because that would make, for example, the Son, Jesus, only a third God. That's not that impressive, right? That would mean God the Father is only a third as good as he could be. Is God limited in any way? Can God be lesser than perfect? In that case, I'm not worshiping a God who's not perfect. I ain't perfect. I might as well worship myself. So God is not split into thirds, because that kind of ruins the whole egg or apple analogy. God's not one person or one being doing three jobs, as I incorrectly used to define it, because that takes out the whole three-leaf clover thing. In your notes, at the top, in the bulletin where it says sermon notes at the top, and I'll show it up here on the screen as well, I believe it comes next, is what's called the Trinity Shield. Here's one way of explaining something that is kind of inexplainable. So if that helps you, good. I just did a Google search. It's everywhere. This isn't some secret thing that Pastor Ben invented. Believe me, I'm not smart enough to think up this stuff. But it helps you understand both who is and who is not the Trinity. God the Father is not the Son, not the same. The Holy Spirit is not the same as God the Father, or not the same as Jesus. All three are God. One God represented to us, manifested, that's a fancy word for like presented or shown to us, in three persons. All of whom work completely together, and there is no shadow, no taste of difference of opinion. That's why we can't say, like, it's me and my two best friends. We're just like the Trinity. No, you're not. Because you guys disagree. You do. You don't see eye to eye on everything. You never have perfect plans, ever. Because even in the closest friends and spouses and relationships we have, we're not the same. That's okay. We're not created to be the same. The Trinity is unique. The tri-unity of God. One God, three persons. But that's kind of like three gods. It's not. But I still don't grasp. It's okay. We take what the scripture has told us. Now, you should say, well, you haven't given me much scripture, so how can I believe you, Ben? That's a valid question. So here we go. Some verses, not all, but some, I'm going to give to us quickly, that mention all three in the same verse. And I'm also going to call reference to our call to worship, which was from Jude 20 and 21. That passage, that sentence, mentions God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. But we're going to quickly go through some verses that mention all three of the Trinity. In the same verse, did you know those existed? They're there. Okay? For example, this one seems to be pretty popular. A lot of us have heard of the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 19, and 20. Go therefore and make disciples. That is your job. Make disciples. Go make disciples. You make disciples of who? Of all nations, everywhere. That's our call to missions, and it's our call to witness to the person next door. But sometimes we just stop there. It says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Well, which one? Yes. Yes. No. Which one? Yes. And so the next time we have a baptism, and if I'm fortunate enough to be able to baptize in the baptistry behind me, I will baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. No, just one of them. No. Oh, so it's three gods? No. And again, if you're like, slow down, this is too much, it's okay. I promise you, it's okay. We'll get to that later. But this is one of many verses. How about Luke 3:22? This is during the actual baptism of Jesus. And the start to his ministry, the Holy Spirit descended on him, Jesus. So you have the Holy Spirit and you have God's Son, the Son of God, Jesus, in bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased." If someone is calling someone their son, they're obviously a parent, specifically God the Father. So you have the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit in one story is too general. In one specific instance, you have the Trinity together in tri-unity. 2 Corinthians 13:14. This ends the book of 2 Corinthians. This is written by Paul to the church in Corinth. And he ends this by hitting on the Trinity. And he simply says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, and some translations say the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Which one's most important? Who cares? That wasn't the point. Paul is simply outlining the Trinity to us. The grace of Jesus, God the Father's love for us, and the fellowship, what connects us? What makes us want to talk to people before the service, as I was alluding to earlier? The Holy Spirit. All in one verse. 1 Peter 1:1-2. 1 Peter 1:1-2, to those who are elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in the sanctification, making us holy, that's a fancy word for just becoming more like God. Who does that? The Spirit. Why? So that we can obey, or for obedience to Jesus Christ. Well, wait, which one's most important? Stop, that's asking the wrong question. Peter isn't saying, here's the most important is this, and then we have, no, he's simply saying, the beautiful thing about our salvation, which one's important? Jesus died on the cross, but maybe it was God the Father's plan, but the Holy Spirit works through us and like, yeah, yes, yes. No, but which one? Yes. So the Trinity had an active part in our salvation? Yes, and still does. God the Father's plan through Jesus Christ's sacrifice on the cross and the Holy Spirit working in us and changing us every single day to be more like God. You mean like more like himself? Yes. And it's okay if your brain hurts. It's okay. That means you're normal. It means you're just like me, working through this thing together. It's okay. A couple more verses before we move on. Genesis 1:26. If you're still in Genesis 1, you can look down. Go towards the end of the chapter, Genesis 1:26. This is an interesting verse. Have you ever picked up on this before? Then God said, okay, so God, and we always think singular, like probably the Father. God the Father said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. So is this before or after Adam and Eve existed? Is this thing on? Is it? Yes, before. Because he hasn't made man yet. So who's the us? Well, he's obviously hanging out with some people and saying, let's all get together and do this thing. Who's the us? Who else could he talk to? There's no other humans. Humans aren't created yet. It's not hanging out with a bunch of penguins and saying we need to create. No. Who's the us? The Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in perfect unity coming together to say, let us create mankind. So wait, which one created mankind? And the answer is yes. the Trinity. Last verse in this section, Isaiah 6, 8. I preached on this passage a while ago, the call, the gospel call to Isaiah. And the end of that is beautiful because Isaiah says, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for me? Don't let me say that. It's not what it says. And who will go for us? The Trinity is saying, who can we send? Who's willing to be a service? And Isaiah says, here I am. I'll do it. So he's serving God the Father or God the Son or God the Holy Spirit. Which one? Ha, tricked you, Pastor. Yes. And the Trinity is in the business of sending out those who are willing. So let's step back a little bit. This is a lot. I know. It's a lot for everyone. If you're human, this is a lot. Let's step back and say, okay, so we got verses that the Bible mentions. But come on, like, how do we know each of those three are actually God? Well, there are many, many verses, and we would be here for hours if I just started reading to you all the verses that talk about God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit being God. So I simply left it at two verses each. Ready? So here are verses that prove that the Heavenly Father, like our Heavenly Father, is God. This is probably the easiest one for us to believe in because that's what we naturally think of as God. Well, the Father, of course he's God. Let's argue about Jesus. Let's argue about the Holy Spirit. But yeah, Heavenly Father's God. Well, here's two. I don't want to take it for granted that we know or don't know. Ephesians 4, 6 says, and there's one God and Father, same thing, same person, God, our Father, of all, who is over all and through all and in all. In other words, God runs the show, and it's our Heavenly Father. Isaiah 64, verse 8 says, but now, O Lord, you are our Father, our Heavenly Father. We are the clay. You are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. In other words, we're giving credence to the Father because he does this whole creation thing, and he's the potter forming us if we are willing. And he tosses out the clay that says, nah, I ain't doing that. That's stupid. I'm not letting God run my life. And for those of us who are like, here I am, send me, he says, perfect. And he works with us, and he makes us what he wants. And he is the one who is our Father, and he is the one who works with us with his hand. Okay, so the Heavenly Father, like, he does this thing called, like, being in charge. He's God. But the Son, Jesus Christ, is God. Not lesser, not a lower God of some sort. Jesus is God. Here are just two verses out of many. Colossians 2:9. Colossians is an amazing book, but it says this in verse 9. For in him, and in the context, and please don't trust me, you look this up for myself, for yourself. Don't trust that I'm doing this accurately. You search the scriptures to see with whether I'm telling you is right or not. But if you want to trust me in the context, he's referring to Jesus Christ. For in him, Jesus Christ, the whole fullness of deity, godness, if I can put it that way, dwells bodily, in a body. So Jesus is God, like, in a human form? Yes. Yes. But he's just a human, right? He's not God. Wrong. Because that verse says he is deity in human form. He is God, all the fullness, not half. Remember, God is not divided up into thirds. Well, we got a third Father, a third Son, and a third Holy Spirit. All right, my mind can tackle that one. Give it up. That's not accurate. Jesus is all God, not a third God. Because then he would only be a third good and a third powerful and a third all-knowing. But all of the God's scripture comes together to explain who Jesus is. He is God, the deity in body. John 5:18. During Jesus' time, they knew what Jesus was saying. We like to argue, well, Jesus never actually said that he was God. Oh, yeah, he did. And everyone knew it in that context. Everyone did. People wanted to kill him because he was being blasphemous and claiming to be God. This is why the Jews were seeking all the more to kill him. They couldn't take it anymore. He was even calling God his own Father. How dare you? Making himself equal with God. See, if we just stop there, making God his own Father, we could say, well, God was a human and he was claiming God was his Father. Okay, so he didn't say he was God. The Jews knew what that meant. He was making himself equal. Not God the Father, and then a couple levels lower, we got Jesus, and then way down here, Spirit. I used to think that way too. Wrong. Jesus was and is all God. If your brain hurts, it's okay. You're normal. Ah, but the Holy Spirit, come on now. That thing's weird. As I understand, I know I grew up in a church that we didn't talk about the Holy Spirit because that was what those crazy people down at the Pentecostal church did. We don't do that thing, right? So Spirit never got mentioned. So we have the Trinity, which is God the Father, God the Son, and that's what I knew the Trinity was. It's the Holy Spirit, but that was a weird thing we didn't talk about. That is to our shame. That is to my detriment. Because the Holy Spirit is God. Here's two of many proofs. Acts 5, 3 and 4. This is a scary story in the early church, Acts chapter 5. You can read the whole story for yourself for the context, but Ananias and Sapphira are lying to the leaders of the church. The motive was they wanted more attention. They wanted praise for what they were doing. Look at my big sacrifice. This is what we sold our land for so that everyone could say, amazing, amazing. And they were lying. Peter, the leader of the early church, says, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit? Well, the Holy Spirit's not God. It doesn't say that until you read the next part. Verse 4 says, you have not lied to man, but to the Holy Spirit, but to God. So you can go tell Peter that he's wrong, but Peter believes the Holy Spirit is God, saying you can't lie to the Holy Spirit. That's lying to God. If that's not enough, Genesis 1, verse 2. If you're still in Genesis 1, you can look down. Don't take my typing for truth. Take God's word. Genesis 1, 2 says this. And the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, was hovering over the face of the waters. Before creation, who was there? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. All doing things, all responsible for actions, all tri-unity. Okay, take a breather. Because this is big, this is tough, this is heavy. It's okay. If you think I'm teaching this to you because I have it mastered, you are wrong. Sometimes I'm still like, but wait, that doesn't make sense. So it's okay to think that. It's also okay for God's stuff to not make human sense. It's okay. It's okay. Please don't get the understanding that I'm okay with just nothing being true and we can just throw everything up. Who cares? Nothing can be. That's not what I'm saying. But who God is and us, our human brains, trying to wrap our minds around a God thing that cannot be humanly invented, it's okay to struggle. I think we're probably expected to. If someone comes up to you and says, ha, Trinity, got it all figured out. Sit down, I'll explain it to you. They're lying. I'm kind of convinced they're lying. I've never met a human who says, oh, Trinity, easy, without either saying something wrong, like, oh, it's just like water. Oh, it's just like a person who has three responses. Oh, it's just. It's okay to not have an analogy. It's okay to not have, like, but it's an egg, right? It's not. It's just God. It's God. And if God was not invented by humans, wouldn't it logically make sense that it's beyond our human understanding? Let me say that again. If God, who was not created and not humanly invented by humans, doesn't it make sense that we can't get it anyway? Because we're the created humans, and he's the creator God. In conclusion, this was very, very brief, I know. You probably, some of you definitely, have more questions than answers. Maybe even in your notes, you've written down, oh yeah, but Pastor Ben, I got this one. Good. That means you're thinking. Good. And I'm under no illusions that I have this perfectly figured out. I've already said this, and you don't. You may have it figured out better, and you actually should be more qualified to be up here teaching this than me. But this was very brief. Thousands of books have been written trying to understand the Trinity. I read through and resourced many of those this week in preparation for this right now. I know this is way too short and way too quick to be like, see, that's everything you need to know about the Trinity. Garbage. Study it your whole life. I insist that would be a great study. But my final thoughts are these. If you find it hard to grasp this thing we refer to as the Trinity, you're normal. It's okay. I don't even know. I'm not convinced we're supposed to completely have God figured out. I don't think that's God's intention. You guys need to know everything about me. I think he knows we can't. That's my opinion. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay to simply live by faith. Remember that whole faith and trust thing that we're told to do? Nope, got to have it all figured out. Well, then you shouldn't be a Christian, because us Christians won't have life all figured out. We definitely won't have God all figured out. Why did God do that? We're still stumped. We still see things in real life. Forget Bible for a sec. We see things in our own life that don't make sense. God doesn't always make sense to us. It's okay. We do this thing called living by faith, because without faith, it is impossible to please God. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that's in there too. And we live by faith that the Trinity is a thing, and that's how God chose to present himself to us. And we have to live by this thing called faith. And we love God and serve God for who God says he is, not Pastor Ben. Number three, we can pray through and to each of the members of the Trinity. If you're like me, I tend to overthink some of this stuff. Like, I love theology and doctrine. Let's dive into it. And then I'm like, no, wait. So we have to say in Jesus' name, amen, but we're not allowed to say in the Holy Spirit's name, amen, and we certainly can't say in the Father's name, amen. Wait, do I address my Heavenly Father? That's how I naturally start my prayers, but is it okay to just say, Spirit, I pray? Can I pray to just straight Jesus? Relax. Is the Holy Spirit God? Yes or no? Is Jesus God? Yes or no? Then pray to them. Then pray through them. It's okay to not have to be specific every single time. Just pray to God. Pray. And we can relax and we can trust that God, who is beyond our understanding, knows, loves, and cares for us. So we can take a breather and say, all right, I'm not going to overthink this thing. And just pray. And just pray. But is it Heavenly Father? Is it in Jesus? Sure. Just pray. God knows, God loves, and God cares. As we continue to progress through this series, God is, which is what I've titled it. This is the first week of eight. We have seven more. My desire is that our love for God grows as much or more than our knowledge of God grows. My job is your knowledge. My job that I've taken on is I'm going to do my best to have your knowledge of God grow each week in these 8 weeks. That's my job. My responsibility is to present to you knowledge from God's word. I can't do anything about your love for God, though. That's on you. So I pray, because that's all I can do, is pray that our love collectively would grow as we learn more knowledge and love and serve God more, which is on you. Don't try to stuff God into a box of your own understanding. Do you dare, like, allow God to do what he wants to do that's outside of your grasp? Is God allowed to be outside of your understanding and grasp in your cute little box that you've stuffed God in? I'm guilty of this as well. I'm preaching to me. I want to understand everything about God. So God, if it better makes sense, and it's right here, that's you. Don't you dare try to get out of that. How ridiculous. We act as if we're in control. Let go of that control. You don't have control anyway. Hate to break it to you. Life reminds us we ain't in control. See, I've lived in West Virginia for 15 years. I got some ain'ts in there. We ain't in control. We aren't. Relax. God's in control. Not you, not me. Let's dive into the ocean of the depths of God's love and knowledge without trying to have it all figured out. And believe, trust, and love a God who is beyond our wildest imaginations and our wildest inventions. Let God be God and know who we are. It's his universe. not yours. If it's his universe and he's the creator, he's allowed to be whoever he says he is. And we trust and we love and we grow. And that's our responsibility.